I'll bet you that everybody in this room, and we have quite a few this morning, has felt one or more of these emotions at some time in your lives. As pastor of congregational care here, I was thinking the other day just about the journey I've been on. I'm entering my 8th year here, and it seems like just yesterday sometimes, as your congregational care pastor. And with that said, I have literally lived congregational care in the last week and a half. For you see, in the sight of 5 days, I officiated 4 funerals, 3 of which were for 3 precious women who I had come to love dearly out of this congregation, and the 4th was for my brother Frank. I officiated that one last Saturday afternoon, the most difficult funeral I've ever officiated because it was for a family member. My feelings are raw right now. I am deep in sadness. He was a great brother. We had great times together all our lives, and I miss him dearly. This movie's storyline not only follows what's going on inside of Riley's head with these 5 different emotions that are going on, but the main struggle throughout this movie is how Joy is trying to find her way back into Riley's life in the midst of learning the role that sadness plays on that journey. Now, the plot of the movie is the fact that Riley and her mama and her daddy are moving from Minnesota to San Francisco because her daddy gets a new job, right? And we are going to see how her emotions affect that move and her journey. I've got a question for you today. How many of you have ever had a move in your life that one of these emotions that we just saw welled up inside of you? Well, I have. I've moved quite a bit from Columbia to Shreveport, Louisiana, to Arkansas, to back to Columbia, and now living in Lexington. But I was reflecting the other day about a time that a number of different emotions were welling up in me. I was 28 years old, and my husband and I were moving from Shreveport, Louisiana, to Fayetteville, Arkansas. If you know anything about the terrain out there, you know that Shreveport is very flat, and as you make your way up to Arkansas, you're going through some mountainous terrain. Well, at that time, we had 2 Volkswagens, a station wagon, of course, because our little girl was only 5 years old, and we had a U-Haul truck. So Mike's parents were kind enough to come out and help us get loaded, move, and unloaded. The problem was we only had 3 drivers and 4 vehicles. So in the midst of planning, we took one of the Volkswagens and put it inside the Ryder truck. That was a trick. It was even a greater trick to get it off the truck. On the way up there, something happened to the engine, and it started chugging and chugging and chugging. And we'd pull off every now and then at some service station where there would hopefully be a mechanic, and every now and then we'd get a country fella say, "Well, I'm not sure what's going on, but you drive on up the road a ways, there might be somebody that can help you." So that was our journey up through the mountains to Fayetteville. So I had a number of different emotions going on, as you can well imagine. Then when we get there and start to unload, a man, not my husband, he was working, pulled out a lawn chair and sat down and began to give orders. "You take this there, you take this there, you take this there." I begin to boil a little bit. So I felt some great emotions in the midst of fear, sadness of leaving. I had some angst. You know, all of our emotions have a place in our being. That was clear in the scripture that Sherry read for us this morning from Psalm 139, 7 through 16. We might have joy when we go to the heavens or on a mountaintop. We might have sadness or even fear or pain as we go to the depths, hell on earth sometimes. We might have some kind of angst or anger as we get off track, east or west. But the assurance is in all of that, all around us, and if we allow it inside us, our God is with us and never leaves us. All emotions have value when expressed in healthy ways. All our emotions have value when expressed in healthy ways, and we can point to Jesus to clarify that statement. You know, Jesus was sad when his very best friend died. We read about that with his friend Lazarus dying. We also know that Jesus felt angst, sadness, a deep, deep feeling when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, "Lord, if it's your will, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done." And then from the cross, a number of different emotions tinged with fear. My God, why have you forsaken me? And anger, righteous anger, when he entered the temple, turned over the tables of the money changers and said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers." So we can point to Jesus to know that our emotions were made as a part of us if used in healthy ways. Now, in the movie, however, the emotion of joy tries to control little Riley and the other emotions along the way. In fact, joy is micromanaging the other emotions while she's at the control panel, even to the point of getting sadness off to the side in a little circle, saying, "You stay there. You stay there." Because you see what she wanted. She wanted little Riley to have a picture-perfect day every day, every week, every month, every year. Our second clip comes into play when some memories turn sad. Let's take a look. It doesn't take long for us to see the impact that sadness has on joy when sadness touches one of those joyful memories. And with joy and sadness being sucked up into long-term memory, joy is no longer at the helm. Joy is no longer in control. In fact, anger is. And the movie does a beautiful job in illustrating how the feelings and emotions of anger and disgust and fear just envelop little Riley. And there's one particular scene at the dinner table that's quite poignant. You see, Mom and Dad ask little Riley, "How was your first day at school?" And little Riley, pulled from anger and disgust, and started sassing Mama and Daddy. And in fact, at one point she says, "Shut up," to which Dad says, "Go to your room. I'll not have you in that disrespectful attitude at this table." In a little while, Dad goes to Riley's room to have a conversation with her, to try to cheer her up, acting goofy and smiling. But again, she has no joy. She's shut down. So Dad says, "Well, you need some alone time. We'll talk later. You know, the old adage, it hurts us more than it hurts our children when we have to discipline them. And I can remember, and you probably can too, of sending a child to their room, disciplining them when they were little, and it does hurt. And now I'm reliving those emotions. I have three beautiful granddaughters, and I love them, and most of the time, they're wonderful. The four-year-old twins, Harper and Finley, are adorable, precious, but they have their times of meltdown. And when they do, I have to send them to time out. And that hurts for Grandmama to have to do that, but I know I need to do it. Well, joy and sadness embark on their journey, and joy finds that sadness has read all the manuals about how to get back to headquarters. So joy lets sadness lead the way, and as they travel, they see that they're these little mind workers with little suction tubes sucking out memories that had faded from little Riley. And those memories are being sent to a dump, a deep, deep valley dump, where faded and forgotten memories go. As they travel, little Riley is sitting in her bed, opening up her computer, and she Skypes her best friend back in Minnesota. And they have this little conversation together, and the little friend starts talking about a new friend she's got in Minnesota. And this new friend can really play hockey well. Well, you know what's happened. Riley has lost a friendship. So she goes from friendship to loneliness. And so that island of friendship crumbles down into that deep valley of forgotten memories. You know, this can be true for us in life, too. Sometimes friendships are broken. Sometimes we have to move and lose friendships. I know in my moves, I've had friends in every place I've ever lived. And it's friendships for a season sometimes. But God has always been so wonderful to put people in my path and in my life. And sometimes we even make connections. God has a plan for us, and while we have that sadness traveling with us in our joy, the both of those can work together. Back to the movie. Riley was missing Minnesota, and with anger at the control panel, Riley decides to run away, take the bus back to Minnesota, to go back to where things were. And it was her mama and daddy's fault all this problem was happening anyway, anger reminded her. So she went downstairs and stole her mama's credit card out of her purse, bought her a bus ticket, and at that point, honesty left little Riley, and that little island crumbled into a forgotten memory. Now, Joy and Riley's imaginary friend from 3 years old found themselves down in that memory dump, and with sadness wandering around somewhere up in long-term memory, they were disconnected. I never had an imaginary friend as a little girl, and my kids didn't either, but they both had their blankies. Tyler called his Silky. And when he got to be about 5 or 6 years old, he came and brought it to me one day and says, "Mama, I'm done with Silky." And he gave it to me. Harper and Finley have their Nays, N-A-Y. And those give them comfort and joy. So whether it's an imaginary friend or a blanket or a little stuffed animal, there are times in our early development that those things are important to us. Now, Riley and this imaginary friend decide that they're going to look for the imaginary friend's rocket, which was a red rat wagon with two brooms hooked to it, to get out of this deep dump and back up to headquarters. And in this next movie clip, we'll see how the imaginary friend helped Joy. Let's watch. Now, we know that Riley's imaginary friend worked with Joy to get her back into Riley's life. And as Christians, my friends, we know that whether it's an imaginary friend or that blanket that we held on to just gives us temporary happiness, right? Joy doesn't mean mere happiness, but a deeper understanding that more greatly resembles Christian joy, a joy that only Christ Jesus can give us. I love the scripture from John 16 and 24, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says this, "Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that joy, a joy that will make you full." We all need to find joy again, just like Riley did in the movie. At the end of the movie, we see how several of the emotions come together in a righteous way to get joy and sadness in an integrated way back into Riley's life. Let's watch this clip. Yes, those emotions work together to get joy and sadness back at headquarters. What have we learned here today through this movie and through God's inspiration in His Word? True joy, the kind that successfully survives suffering, that holds on even in the midst of pain, that comes with a cost, is hard, isn't it? And it's intertwined with sadness. And as I was reflecting on what I would share with you this morning, I thought about a time in my earlier life that those emotions became intertwined with me, and I came to a new, deeper realization of the Lord in my life. You see, it was 1989. I was 40 years old at the time, and December the 15th of that year, my daddy died. It was the first immediate family member that had died in my life, and I was so sad. I was always close to my daddy. 10 days later, my husband got on a plane with others from McIntyre Air Force Base, along with the fleet of F-16 pilots, and he went off to Desert Storm. Now, at the time, I didn't know where they were headed, because you see, they were going to become a part of something called a bear base. It was top secret, and it was 4 weeks before I heard from my husband, even the first time. Over the course of his time away, I lost 17 pounds. And it was the first war that was real time on TV. We had a 16, 17-year-old daughter, a 10-year-old son, and the three of us were glued to the TV, as you can well imagine, watching the Scud missiles go and land and blow up, wondering, is that near where Mike is? Is he going to come back okay from this war? I had every kind of emotion running through me. And I'll never forget my Sunday school teacher and a man that I love like a second father, Harold Hutchins, put his arm around me one day in my sadness and in my weeping. And he says, "Have you gone to the Lord? Have you gone to the Lord about this, Faye? The Lord can sustain you." And he gave me Philippians 4:13, which I still hold as a dear scripture. I have it on my keychain. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, I can't get alongside all of you men and women who have served, and some of you still serving so beautifully, to make sure that our country stays free and protected. I can only get alongside the families and what they go through in wondering about their loved one and whether their loved one will come back. And that was a turbulent time in my life. My husband did come back, and so I had joy again. The children had joy. But you know, I'm still a work in progress. Because you see, a week and a half ago, my brother Frank died. I'm in another one of those slumps of sadness. I loved my brother. When we were kids, we did everything together. We hunted arrowheads and pottery, Indian pottery, and he was so smart, and I looked up to him, and we'd stay up late watching Alfred Hitchcock and Twilight Zone until we were so scared we couldn't sleep at night. He was a man of 1,000 faces and could make me laugh like no other. And I miss him. And I'll always miss him. But I have joy in my heart in the midst of that sadness because I know my Frank is with the Lord. He's with the Lord. And he has no more suffering. So God's still working on me. I hope as my life continues, I'll continue to work with those different emotions so that I'm even in a more balanced life as I journey with my Christ. And what I would like to leave with you today is a way that you can deal with your feelings and emotions so that you can get joy back in your life if you need it now or if you need it sometime in the future. The first way is by writing it out. There's something to be said about getting our feelings out on either a piece of paper. You can go to the dollar store and buy a dollar journal and do it, or you can type it on your computer. But getting those emotions out, whether it's sadness, whether it's anger, and by the way, you can be angry at God every now and then too. He's big enough to handle it. That's why they call a section of the Psalms the laments. Say lament. Yeah, there's a whole section of them that we usually don't read. They're laments. So write it out. The second thing is reading it out. Go to your scriptures. Because I've only given you a few today that you can look at, but there are many more that will touch you in the depths of your heart, where you are at a given time, and can help you to know how the Lord continues to be with you. And the third way is by talking it out. And talking it out means prayer between you and the Lord, and sometimes it's you talking to the Lord. Sometimes it's the Lord speaking to you. But it also means speaking or sharing with a pastor like myself, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Nick. It also could mean talking to a Stephen minister, which we have close to 20 of those here, or a counselor. And we also have some great support groups. We have grief support that will be starting back in August. Divorce care will start back in August with our fall programming. We're going to have a cancer support group that will meet twice a month beginning mid-August. We have small groups. And I've spoken to you before how important small groups can be as a sharing place. But I want you to remember from Psalm 139 that you can always depend on the Lord no matter what you're going through. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. So where do you find yourself today? I pray that all of you are just overflowing with joy today. But statistically, I can look throughout this room as I often do, and I know. That some of you have lost a loved one, and you're sad and you're grief-stricken. Some of you are living in fear because of an impending surgery or an impending diagnosis. Some of you are living in anger because of a broken relationship. I don't know where you are right now, but I know one who does know, because he created you in your mother's womb. He knows every part of you. He wants to be inside you, inside your heart, but he's also surrounding you if you'll let him. So as Jack comes to lead us in our music to close out the service, I want to pray. I want to pray for those that especially right now needs our Lord's touch. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we come before you today and we thank you. We thank you that we can write it out. We thank you that we can read it out through your word, and we thank you that we can talk it out with you and with others. And we thank you, Lord, for scriptures like Psalm 139 that remind us that you're always there. You never leave us and forsake us, Lord. And if there's somebody here that's never pulled you into their heart, someone that needs that joy that only you can give for the first time, may they accept you today as their Savior. And if there's someone that's hurting, that's sad, that's angry, that's fearful, will you give them your Spirit in a new and a fresh way that they can fully rely on you? For it's in Christ's precious name that we pray. Amen.